Chapter 16. Amanda. Amanda passed the entrance to the musical instrument store and pressed the buzzer for the separate entrance to the upstairs space for her support group. Her phone started to ring. She thought it might be Wendy, or Naomi, as she insisted upon being referred to now. It wasn't Naomi. The screen said Pharaoh. He'd already called her earlier that day to remind her to go to tonight's meeting. She picked up.
Tell me you're on 43rd Street right now and headed for your session, he said.
Believe it or not, that's exactly where I am, she said with some pride. The door opened and Matt greeted her. Hi, Matt, she said, then into the phone. Do you want to say hi to the counselor?
That's not necessary. I'm just glad you're going through with it. If you need me, you know how to reach me. Hang in there, you're doing great.
Amanda made her way upstairs, past the coffee station, and looked out over some of the assembled group. Betty was there and a few others. No sign of Naomi. She checked her watch. It was almost 8. Amanda grabbed coffee and made sure to take a seat with another empty one beside it. She put her coat on that chair to keep it for Naomi. It was only 3 days since they'd had their night out on the rooftop bar of Pod 39, and they'd made it a late one. They had sunk a lot of cocktails, a lot of beer, and ended up in an all-night pizzeria with the rest of the drunks and addicts who only seemed to venture out in Manhattan during the small hours of the morning. Even after they'd finished a large pepperoni pizza, Amanda still felt buzzed from the conversation and the booze. Naomi wouldn't shut up, asking questions about Crone, his routine, his background, the case against him, whether the police were really sure it had been him who had murdered Amanda's daughter. She'd wanted to know how he lived, where he worked, his social life, every last detail. It was all they had talked about that night, right until the end, when Naomi drained the last of her vanilla Coke, threw down a pizza crust, and said,
I can't believe we're really talking about this. That's something I'd not expected at the start of the night. You know, you can be quite persuasive.
I need this, said Amanda. I haven't thought about anything else for months.
Do you think you could do it?
You think you could kill Quinn? Asked Naomi. Amanda knew she could kill someone. There was no doubting the strength of that desire, but it was aimed at a specific target, the man who had murdered her little girl. She knew Crone wasn't the only monster. There were more like him, and Quinn sounded just as bad. Could she kill someone like Crone? She didn't know if it was the alcohol or the company or both, but the answer came quickly.
Sure I could.
Naomi nodded, but she didn't look convinced. Amanda saw the doubt on Naomi's face straight away and latched onto it. Amanda drained her soda, put down the cup and said,
Let's make a promise. We're not going to forget this night, what we've talked about. We could do this for real, together, like real sisters.
And with that, Amanda extended a shaky hand. Naomi smiled, took it, and Amanda was surprised by the strength of her friend's grip.
I promise I won't back out, said Amanda. Now you.
I promise, said Naomi, and relaxed her grip.
Amanda did not. She held firm.
No, no, no. You gotta do this for real. Promise me you won't back out. Say it.
I promise I won't back out, said Naomi.
Neither of them spoke another word. They stood up from the table, moved out onto the street, turned and embraced one another. There were no words required. The strength in their arms, as they held each other, said it all. In the 3 days since, they hadn't spoken, and the more time elapsed, the more embarrassed Amanda felt about that night. Those 3 days had passed quickly in Amanda's new routine. She met with her probation officer as requested, started taking some pills, cleaned the apartment, and made an effort to stay in at night. With Crone suing her for harassment, she had to cut back on surveillance. He was more alert in the evenings, so she stayed at home. In the morning, when the city heaved with cars and people in rush hour, Amanda observed him from afar on his daily commute. It was easier to hide during the day. If Amanda wasn't focused on getting Crone, there was nothing else to occupy her mind. There was only her loss, unending, an empty void that threatened to consume her. When she saw him, it fired her rage. Her anger at the injustice was a real feeling. It electrified her senses, made her feel alive. It made her feel there was something worth living for, even if it was just the simple act of willing his murder. To imagine his death was something. Without that, there was nothing. The fact that Naomi had not reached out to her since that night led her to believe Naomi was embarrassed by their conversation. It had seemed like a great idea at the time, but now Amanda could see that it was probably just a fantasy for Naomi, just the alcohol talking. It's easy to imagine what you could do to someone when you've got a belly full of strong liquor. Maybe it was for the best. Amanda wasn't so sure she could kill a man she didn't know, even if he was a monster. Now, it didn't look as if she'd have that problem. Naomi had gone quiet, and Amanda resigned herself to the fact that she'd have to kill Crone on her own when the time was right. Amanda had sent Naomi a text that morning to ask if she was going to group tonight, and got a simple thumbs up emoji in response. She checked her watch. It was 5 minutes past the hour. Matt was about to begin the session. She took out her phone to text Naomi and found a new message from her waiting to be read. "Are you at the group session?" Amanda texted back.
"Yeah, I saved you a seat."
A reply slammed back fast.
"Sorry, can't make it. Something has come up. I'll call you tomorrow. X."
Amanda sighed, put her phone away. She hoped she hadn't ruined what could have been a good friendship with Naomi. The thought was soon lost as Matt opened the meeting and introduced someone new to the group. The rest of the parents looked at Betty. Amanda could tell she was psyched, ready to tell her redemption story to a new listener. Amanda left the group at 9, went home and spent another restless night in bed. The dream again, cast adrift on a raging black sea, a bonfire on the beach in the distance. Two figures on that beach holding hands in the firelight, Luis and Jess. The dream ended with the boat capsizing again. Amanda knew she would never beat those waves. She would never get to that beach. Her alarm woke her at 6 a.m., time to go and put in a shift watching Crone. She showered, dressed, and made it out the door with the thoughts of her first coffee of the day. A half hour later, Amanda blew a cloud of vapor off the top of her latte. The little deli on the corner of 96th Street was always busy this time of the morning. Guys in khaki pants and sweaters getting hot sandwiches, women in business suits and heels getting croissants and fruit, and the little tables outside were regularly full, with standing room only around the heater. This morning, the heater wasn't working, so she had some space. She watched the 96th Street station entrance, keeping an eye out for Crone. She was looking forward to seeing him, anticipating the bitter sight of him walking free. It was something to fill the nothing, until she could figure out a way to kill him. People walked by, some went into the station and some kept on going. Amanda took another sip of her latte to keep out the cold, then checked the clock on the Miller Lite banner in the deli window. 7:25. That couldn't be right. She had been watching the entrance to the 96th Street station diligently, and Crone had not entered the station. He was never this late. Amanda thought she was being stupid, that there was obviously a reason she'd missed him. Maybe she hadn't been paying attention and he'd slipped by. That had almost happened yesterday. She'd stood in the same spot, same coffee from the same deli, and just caught sight of him with his back to her as he disappeared inside. "Fuck this," said Amanda. She made her way past the station one more time. It was 7:30, no sign of him. She must have missed him in the crowd. It was his appointment day today. She could go to Starbucks this afternoon, watch from the window. She wouldn't miss him from that vantage point. She needed her fix, needed to feel the hate, needed to know that someday she would wipe him from the face of the earth. Amanda went home, put on the news for the first time in weeks, and sat in front of the TV for a few mindless hours. Time moved on, but some things stayed the same. Celebrities got caught up in sex scandals, kids were shot in school, the president was still making an ass of himself at press conferences, or whenever he happened to open his mouth. The world was still in conflict. The difference was that Amanda felt as if she wasn't a part of it any longer. She checked her watch, put on her coat, and took the subway. There was one seat left at the window in her Starbucks. It was coming up to 1 p.m. Amanda held her black coffee in her hands as she gazed across the street. 1:10 p.m., and no sign of Crone. At 1:30, she knew he was a no-show for his regular appointment. It was 2 days until Thanksgiving, and she wondered if he'd taken off on a plane somewhere for the holidays. She got off the stool, still thinking about Crone, when her phone began to vibrate. She made for the door as she took out her cell. The caller ID read, Naomi. Hi, said Amanda, answering the call.
How's the coffee?
Said Naomi. Amanda froze, turned, and saw Naomi at the back of the coffee shop waving from the couch. At first, Amanda couldn't figure out why Naomi was there. Then she remembered she told her about this place on their night out and how it gave a perfect view of Crone going into that building. She approached Naomi, they hugged, and Amanda took a seat beside her on the couch. No awkwardness, no embarrassment between them. That made her glad, because perhaps Naomi could be something in her life too. A real person, a friend, another distraction from the void. There were people occupying the table opposite, but far enough away so they didn't need to whisper.
You know, you could have just called and said you wanted to meet, said Amanda.
I'm not good on the phone. Besides, I've got something to tell you, and I wanted to do it face to face.
Amanda felt her cheeks flush with embarrassment.
Look, I know our conversation maybe went a little too far the other night. I want us to be friends, to trust each other. Maybe I got carried away, but I'm not crazy.
Naomi cut off Amanda, said,
You're definitely not crazy, because it's going to work.
What's going to work?
Swapping murders, said Naomi.
Really? When I didn't hear from you, I just figured you got cold feet.
Naomi took hold of Amanda's hand and whispered softly,
I meant it. I hope you meant it too. I damn well believed you meant it. You made me promise, remember? That's why I came here, to tell you in person. Crone didn't show up for work today. He won't show for his appointment this afternoon. He won't be in work tomorrow either. And his lawsuit against you will disappear.
Amanda's grip tightened on Naomi's fingers.
What are you talking about? Asked Amanda.
I killed him last night while you were in the group meeting. I've kept my promise. Now it's your turn.